Welcome to the Midas Touch podcast. Ben Micellus here, joined by my two brothers, Brett Micellus and Jordy Micellus. We have a great podcast for you today because
star-studded.
We have Congressman Ted Lieu. We've got superstar and Midas Touch friend Michael Rappaport. I'm going to love to hear what he has to say about the topic of the hour. That is, Donald Trump was impeached a second time for directing a terrorist attack, this time against the United States. The first was blackmailing the Ukrainian prime minister. This is beyond the pale of anything we could have conceived of when we thought of the worst case scenarios of Donald Trump becoming the president of the United States 4 years ago. I'm glad it's almost over. I am terrified, frankly, in the next 6 days, but it is vitally important that we hold Donald Trump accountable, that we hold his enablers accountable. And the first step to that process was impeaching him again. And now the process goes to the Senate, where there will be a trial over the conviction. Mitch McConnell claims that they are too busy to hold that before the inauguration. We'll ask Congressman Ted Lieu about that. I think Congressman Ted Lieu has some strong feelings about why the Senate's claiming they're too busy. But Jordy Micellus, how are you doing today, Jordy?
I guess I'm okay. I mean, it's in pure insanity. To your point, I'm excited that we're close to the end of this presidency, but at the same time, I'm like walking on eggshells. Hey, if you're joining us for the first time, Ben did a good job recapping it. But look, we're three brothers. You got the oldest brother, Ben. He's our legal expert. Brett, our middle brother, two-time Emmy Award digital editor. You got me, the youngest brother. Some would say I'm really the glue guy of the group. I'm the Rodman to their Pippen and Jordan. I make sure if there's ever any problems, the guys come to me and take their frustrations out on me rather than each other. Brett, what's going on with you, man?
I just wanted to thank you, Jordy, for using a 90s sports reference, because that's about as recent as my sports memory goes.
And he's not even really joking. He's not even kidding.
It really helps me understand what you're talking about. And Jordy, you could add today that you're an award winner yourself. You showed off your nice Clio award. So congratulations.
Thank you, man.
Rewarded for
Jordy
your marketing
winning
genius.
A big marketing award. Congrats, Jordy. A fan favorite pick. Was it by Bleacher Report, Jordy?
Yes, sir. Clio Sport fan favorite award.
It was massive, man.
Yeah, man. I'm really stoked about it. And shout out to the Midas Mighty, man. I think they had a hand in helping to vote for us. So thank you guys. And I'm happy that you guys appreciated the work. So thank you.
Jordy, before getting into the news, I want to get a little personal here.
Why?
I hope
Ben and I have been talking, and I think we need to sit down and just have a little discussion with you, because there's something going on. I'm not sure that you're quite aware that it's happening, but I think it's important that you start to tune into what's going on around you on a daily basis.
Jordy, we know that you are very allergic to dogs. For new time listeners, when we were all growing up, Jordy had a horrible dog allergy. At first, we were told by his school in second grade that he was a massive distraction to the class and he wasn't focused on any of his material, which obviously made us very concerned. And when we got to the root of it, even though we had a hyper allergenic dog, he was a West Highland White Terrier named Shaq. It turned out that Jordy was severely allergic, severely allergic.
This is sabotage. You guys called each other before. Where is this going?
No, here's the thing, Jordan. This is for your own good. And I want you to know we love you as brothers. We're here for you.
Yeah, we got to air it out, Brett.
We made it very public about your allergies, about your issues. And we started noticing things. And I'm just gonna be straight with it. I think your future in-laws are trying to kill you.
No, not at all. Look, they.
So Jordy has a very bad dog allergy, as we just mentioned. And Jordy got a new dog. That's an English Shepherd. That's a gigantic dog. And Jordy had to go back on the nebulizer, back on the inhaler. And then Brett, what do we find out as we were going through social media yesterday? Brett, play the clip.
We're going through Instagram stories, and we found this from Jordy's fiance.
So woke up this morning and there are three dogs now in this household. My mom borrowed my granny's puppy, Buddy. So now Mello has a friend to play with, but now we have three dogs.
So Jordy,
it's true. It's just true.
How do you have three dogs and you have cat. The most severe and a cat. Cat
and a cat
and a cat?
It gets worse. It got worse.
God. Yeah.
Are you okay, Jordy? We just want to check in on you. You good?
I hit the inhaler five times before the show to make sure I had enough breath to get in the intro. So I'm good right now. I'll leave it as that.
We just want to know we're here for you. All right.
We're here for you. We love you, Jordy. And shout out to Midas Mello, Jordy's dog. Shout out to Jordy's three other dogs, his other cat. Jordy may have some cattle in the house.
We'll see what happens on next week's show.
We'll see what happens on the next show. We'll check in with you. Let's get into the news. We have Trump being impeached. This was the first president to ever be impeached twice. The vote was 232 to 197. It was decently bipartisan. 10 Republicans voted for impeachment. Some very outspoken. Liz Cheney, the daughter of Dick Cheney, came out and said how Trump lit the flame of the riot and did nothing to stop it. You had some Republicans, and it was a handful, 10, with convictions. But yesterday, by the evening hours, Trump was officially impeached. What do you think about that, Brett and Jordy?
I'm excited, and he deserves it. The first president in history to impeach twice. It's worth noting that Trump now accounts for half of all impeachments in the entire history of the United States. The guy's only had one term. So congratulations, Donald Trump, for going 2 for 2 with impeachments. Very, very impressive job. And you only had to start a terrorist insurrection against your own country to get number two.
It still shocks me, Jordy, that 197 Congress persons who were the attackees, they were the individuals, although we'll get to this, many may have been actual co-conspirators, which is why they voted not to impeach, but they were the victims of the insurrection. They were targeted in theory, although as we'll get to, we believe, and as the reporting gets out, that many of these Republicans may have been giving capital tours to these insurrectionists. And we also learned that many of these terrorists who came in were on the FBI watch list, who were invited into the Capitol by Donald Trump.
Let me just clarify, literally terrorists that were brought into the Capitol.
Whose specific targets to kill were Nancy Pelosi, the vice president, a slew of other Democratic lawmakers, and other individuals in their view to overthrow the United States government. Yet you had 197 Republicans still vote not to impeach, which is the ultimate profile in cowardice.
What do you think it would take? If a terrorist attack against the U.S. Capitol doesn't do it, is there anything that could get these 197 Republicans to say, we've had enough?
I hate to say it, Brett. If the insurrectionists weren't all white supremacists, I think that would have changed the dynamic.
Yeah.
It's basically that simple. It's all about white privilege. It's all about white supremacists. And, you know, you have these Republicans who are all like Blue Lives Matter, except when it comes to police officers not holding up white supremacy and trying to stave off white supremacy. I don't think I've heard once, Brett, Republicans genuinely talk about the fact that a Capitol police officer was murdered by this insurrection that some of these Republicans aided and abetted, and Donald Trump aided and abetted. It took literally a federal act of constitution to try to even get Donald Trump to acknowledge the existence of the death by flying the flag half staff. And even in Melania Trump's statement that we read on the last podcast, she conflated the terrorists who were killed with the Capitol police officer who was killed. And so this whole stop talking about Blue Lives Matter. Stop talking about that GOP when at the end of the day, it only matters if they're upholding your vision of white supremacy. I don't hear them talking about Officer Daniel Hodges, who was crushed by the mob. I did read that story, Brett, of a 10-year-old girl who wrote this incredibly beautiful note to the officer. I think her name was Emma Jablinski. She was watching this on TV with her mom. She's 10 years old. She started crying to see this. And she wrote, "Dear officer, I'm Emma. I'm 10 years old. I hope you heal from being crushed. I feel bad for you. Those people are really bad hurting you." You don't even have adult Republican Congress people saying that.
Well, Ben, I think it reveals a sad fact about the Republican Party. It was never about backing the blue. It was about protecting the white. And I think that was on full display. But I think we have to also acknowledge, Ben, the heroism of the Capitol Police officer who diverted the insurrectionists from going to the Senate floor. There's a famous video right now. It's a black officer. His name is Eugene Goodman. He's being hailed as a hero because what he did, and there's a famous video now going around of him running away from these insurrectionists. What you don't quite see from the video, but you could see if you're looking very closely, is he directs them away from the doors to the Senate chamber and has them chase him down the hall instead. Now imagine if those same white supremacist terrorists, instead of chasing him, went straight for the door that they intended to, opened it up, and started killing senators on the floor. It could have been a disaster. This guy saved lives. And so on Thursday, a bipartisan group of lawmakers said they were going to introduce a bill to award Goodman the Congressional Gold Medal. It's one of the highest awards a civilian can receive in the United States. This man is an absolute hero, an American hero.
And let's get into what the next step is, though, on impeachment. Let's see what the Constitution says. So the United States Constitution provides that the House of Representatives shall have the sole power of impeachment. That's Article 1, Section 2. And the Senate shall have the sole power to try all impeachments, but no person shall be convicted without the concurrence of 2/3 of the members of the Senate present. Article 1, Section 3. So the House of Representatives essentially charge an individual in the impeachment process. It's like when a federal prosecutor gives an indictment, but then it goes to a trial after the indictment, and that trial is in the Senate. And if the Senate convicts, then the person being impeached, in this case, the president, is removed from office. There could then be a separate vote taken if you clear that 2/3 hurdle, and a vote by the majority of the Senate members to then ban that individual from holding public office for the rest of their life. But that's the two-step process. So when people say someone's being impeached or they've been impeached, that doesn't mean they've been removed. It means they've been charged with the high crime or misdemeanor, and then it goes to the Senate. I think it'll be interesting, Brett, to see what the Senate does. I think you have a number of senators, Lisa Murkowski, Senator Toomey, even Mitch McConnell has indicated potential inclinations of conviction. We don't know. I think one of the frustrating aspects, though, about it is because the Senate is not yet controlled by the Democrats, you still have to wait for Georgia to finally complete its certification process. Now, remember, Perdue and Loeffler both conceded, so I don't think there should be that much of a holdup, but we have still about another week or after the inauguration until we have the Democratic senators to become United States senators.
But Ben, it's worth noting that whether the impeachment trial happens now, and I think it should happen as quickly as possible, or if we have to wait till Schumer is the majority leader, it's going to happen. It could happen whether Trump's in office or not. And the same consequences can apply after the fact. And it's worth noting that right now that Trump is absolutely struggling. He is incapable of finding an attorney to represent him. Because shocker, no one is really excited about
representing. No one wants to represent. No one wants to represent someone who's inspired an insurrection. And Jordy, I think one of the problems here, I saw some reporting today, Brett, and Jordy, this kind of hits you on multiple fronts, both as someone who went to Ohio State and somebody named Jordy. There are some reports that Jim Jordan, by default, because no one else wants to be Trump's lawyer, may have to be Trump's lawyer during the Senate trial. Now, let me just say this fact, too. I don't believe Jim Jordan has ever passed the bar exam. He went to a law school. I've never heard of the law school, but I don't think he's ever taken the bar exam, which means he's not licensed to go into courts and do trials. And so I don't even know if him doing it would be the unauthorized practice of law. But Jordy, you got someone named Jordy who went to Ohio State. Yeah. I'm feeling for you, bro.
It's the absolute worst, man. Jim Jordan has done to Jordans what Ben Shapiro has done to Ben's.
Brett, yikes.
I don't know anyone off the top of my head.
That was a good one. That was a good one, Jordy.
Guys, let me just tell you, the Kavanaugh nomination process was not a great time for Brett's. Not a great time for us.
You got Brett Kavanaugh, Ben Shapiro, Jim Jordan. We're kind of hit on all fronts, guys.
Yeah, guys, it's been a rough time for us over these past few years. But hopefully now we're starting to see an out from this, because in a few days, President Biden is going to be inaugurated as the 46th, most likely the 46th, we'll see, president of the United States. And he's hitting the ground running. I mean, in the midst of all this going on, today, Joe Biden is set to release his big COVID stimulus package. Reports,
I think it's what, Brett? It's $2 trillion. He's delivering on his promise. It includes an additional $1,400 check for stimulus to make that, combined with the previous $600, a $2,000 check, and providing unemployment benefits and giving the type of stimulus that all economists said that we needed. And thankfully, when we have a Democratic Senate and a Democratic House of Representatives, this is something that's going to be passed. I can't wait for it. But Brett, what still just makes me livid is seeing these images of the National Guard sleeping in the Capitol building, you know, basically on war footing, because Donald Trump has inspired and directed and encouraged terrorists to attack the Capitol building. We believe the Washington Mall on inauguration is going to be shut down. I remember being in D.C., how special it was to be on the Washington Mall during Obama's inauguration. And it
something worth noting that a lot of you guys out there listening might not even realize is Ben used to give tours of the U.S. Capitol building back in college, right?
Yeah, I went to George Washington. I went to Georgetown Law when I was interning in the House of Representatives for Congressman Steve Israel and Senator Clinton. I gave tours of the Capitol building. I brought people into the rotunda where the terrorists attacked on January 6th. I would point up to the head of the rotunda where there's the picture of the apotheosis of George Washington. And I would bring
people. Now he's just showing off, Jordy, right?
I'd bring people into the crypt and I would give them a full tour. I loved giving tours of the Capitol, and I want to get into in a little bit, but how disheartening it is to learn that it's probable that Congress people were giving these tours to insurrectionists to learn all about the Capitol building. And I want to get to that in a bit, but first we're talking about impeachment. I could think of no better person than an individual who helped introduce the articles of impeachment, who served as the impeachment manager in the House, to talk about the impeachment process, to talk about where we go next. If we can, let's bring on Congressman Ted Lieu of California's 33rd District. And Congressman Lieu was one of the Congress members who helped introduce these articles of impeachment. Welcome to the Midas Touch podcast, Congressman.
Thank you. Honored to be on your show.
Yeah, thanks for being on the show, and thanks for being a big supporter of Midas Touch. It didn't go unnoticed that you retweeted the Convict Trump video that we made last night, and so we thank you for that. But obviously, in retweeting that and based on your statements, you believe that at this point, now that it's in the Senate, Trump should be convicted. Where do we go from here after the articles that you introduced passed. What happens next, Congressman?
So first, we're calling on the Senate to hear the article as soon as possible. And it's a very simple article. It's incitement to insurrection, and the facts are not disputed. We know that a mob violently attacked our nation's capital, resulting in multiple deaths. We know that they were doing so to stop Congress from formalizing Donald Trump's defeat and Joe Biden's win. And we know that Donald Trump incited the mob to make that attack. So we want the Senate to hear this article, and we hope to get a conviction.
And Mitch McConnell says that, you know, that no way could they meet before the 19th, and they're apparently incredibly busy, if you believe him. Do you believe any of that, Congressman?
There's nothing procedurally stopping Senator McConnell from having the trial this Monday. And we're urging the Senate to hear the case as soon as possible.
And just on a personal level, where were you on January 6th? And when all of this started to happen, like, what was going through your mind as being one of the individuals who the mob was trying to get to?
So because of the pandemic, they didn't want most members of Congress to be on the House floor during their joint session. So they just wanted their members are going to object to what we believe was going to be the first state that they're going to object to, which is Arizona, as well as Democratic members are going to respond. They had some members that they could put in the gallery to watch, but most were watching from the TV in their office. So I was in my office on the fourth floor of the Cannon House office building. And around 1:15, I hear loud banging on the doors in the hallway, and it gets louder as it comes to my office. And then the banging happens on our door, and my chief of staff opens it, and the Capitol Police officer says, "You need to evacuate immediately." So that's what we did.
It's a terrifying experience. So I gave Capitol tours back in the day. So I interned for Congressman Steve Israel and Secretary of State Clinton when she was a senator. So, you know, these reports of certain Republican congresspersons who may have given tours, which is corroborated by some Democratic Congress members, is deeply disturbing. Congressman, do you know anything more about that? Have you heard that took place?
Yes, we heard that that took place. That's why I signed on to a letter authored by Congresswoman Mikey Sherrill to have this investigated. We need a far-ranging investigation. And my view is that no one is above the law, not the president, not his attorney, and certainly not any members of Congress. If it turns out there are members of Congress that help incite the insurrection or engage in some sort of other conspiracy, then they need to be investigated. And if the facts warrant it, then they need to be charged.
And are there ways, Congressman, to use the 14th Amendment to expel members that may have been involved in the incitement?
The House could certainly expel members. We do have the power to do that. And as folks know, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment pretty much explicitly says that you cannot hold office in the United States if you engage in an insurrection. And so we need to have an investigation to find out if any of these members essentially help incite the insurrection.
And so impeachment, we know, is a political process. On the criminal side of things, based on what Donald Trump engaged in, based on the same subject matter of the article's impeachment, do you believe that there will be criminal repercussions for Donald Trump's actions?
I do. Inciting an insurrection is also a felony. It's 18 United States Code Section 2383. And it's also clear that we had a murder occur at the Capitol. One police officer was killed. Dozens more were injured. And anyone who is taking actions, engaging in felonies that could also foreseeably have resulted in that murder can also be charged with felony murder. There are a number of crimes Donald Trump could be charged with. So I expect their investigators to do an investigation. And if the facts so warrant it, then the prosecutors should charge him.
And as a layman, just looking at it, I'm like, what more evidence do you need? Like, I kept seeing all these Congress people go up and say, oh, we need to analyze all the evidence. I mean, it was all on tape. It all happened. We all saw the direct incitement of the attacks. What else are you looking for? And I see one of the other things that you've been hammering home nonstop, Congressman, is all it would take is for Republican leadership to say the election was not stolen. Why are they so reticent to say that to their followers?
So on your first point, you're correct. The evidence is in broad daylight. There is no dispute that Donald Trump gave that very inflammatory speech. There's no dispute that his supporters listened to him and marched down Pennsylvania Avenue as he directed them to do so. And they went to the Capitol and invaded the Capitol, and they were hunting for Mike Pence. They were trying to assassinate Speaker Pelosi. They beat police officers over the head with lead pipes. They murdered a police officer. Imagine if they got a hold of a U.S. senator or a very liberal member of Congress.
What I think
they
that's one of that the person? Scary things that we keep hearing, that the more we hear, the more we learn that this could have been so much worse than it already was.
Absolutely. And all of it is rooted in their misplaced rage that the election was stolen. For 2 months, Donald Trump lied to them and let his supporters believe that somehow he won by a landslide, that thousands of dead people voted, that voting machines magically switched votes, that there were more people who voted than were registered. None of that is true. It is very easily provably false. All he has to do right now is to say the election was not stolen, and he can calm down all these tensions. He doesn't have to have all this National Guard in DC. All these folks are there in DC and in 50 state capitals because he refuses to say that. And his base still believes that Donald Trump is the legitimate president who should remain in power for another 4 years.
Yesterday's impeachment was somewhat bipartisan in the sense that 10 Republicans voted in favor of impeachment, but 197 or so still voted against impeachment. Congressman, did that surprise you? And after experiencing what everybody experienced at the Capitol building, literally being the targets of the attack, to hear the same bizarre partisan Trumpian rhetoric in the face of something that's so defenseless, did that surprise you, or were you expecting that it was going to go like that?
In the last 4 years, I've seen Republican after Republican simply bow down to Donald Trump. So I actually had expected less Republicans to vote for an impeachment. So I didn't think we'd break double digits. I was pleased that 10 Republicans voted for it. It was the most bipartisan impeachment ever. And we hope to get a lot of supporters of the U.S. Senate. And I believe we have a real chance at conviction once we present our case.
And switching topics just briefly, President-elect Biden, soon to be President Biden, will be revealing, or he revealed today, his stimulus plan, about a $2 trillion stimulus plan. When do you expect that would reach a House floor vote? And what are your thoughts about that stimulus plan?
So I fully support President-elect Biden's $1.9 trillion stimulus plan. We know that this pandemic has wreaked havoc in our country, hurt a lot of businesses and American families. We've got to get additional stimulus funds out there to the American people. So I fully support it. One thing that needs to happen just procedurally is all these committees have to get organized. So for example, the House Judiciary Committee, we still haven't organized as a committee because the Republicans refuse to provide us their Republican members. And so until that happens, Republicans said they won't do that until after January 20th. These committees can't actually hold any hearings. And so we need to first get organized, and that's going to take some time. And then after that, we'll start passing out legislation.
And Congressman, I don't know if you know this, but there are actually three brothers here. Jordy's been kind of hiding In the bottom left, he's got very bad dog allergies. We covered it on the beginning of the podcast. Jordy, we have on us the congressman who helped introduce the articles of impeachment, someone who's held Donald Trump accountable. Jordy, this may be, you want to ask a question or just look cute down there?
I would love to ask a question. So thank you for everything that you do. Truly, thank you. How do we de-radicalize this Republican base, you know, going forward once Biden gets in?
That's a great question, Jordy. By the way, we adopted a Maltipoo 3 years ago.
Oh, very nice.
Because he's hypoallergenic. So, we don't have.
Brett, do you have a Maltipoo?
No, I have a Shih Tzu. It looks similar to a Maltipoo. But,
yeah, I have a Maltese. Jordy has the worst allergies, but he got, what did you get, Jordy? An English Shepherd and English four Shepherd. Other dogs now.
Jordy's pulling up his inhaler in the video frame.
Keep my inhaler handy, and it's worth every second of it.
All right, Jordy, you asked the great question, Jordy.
You did. Your question about de-radicalization is a very simple question with a very difficult answer. So one thing we've seen, for example, is a fragmentation of media, which has been both good and bad. So when I was growing up, there'd be three major news networks, and we would watch Peter Jennings or Tom Brokaw present the news. And it was all sort of self-moderated. Now, if you're a conservative, you're watching Fox News. If you're crazy, you're watching Newsmax. If you're liberal, you're watching MSNBC. And there are like three alternate sets of facts that you're getting. Now, I happen to believe MSNBC's facts are the correct ones, but in any event, you have Americans who are getting siloed and watching exclusively just information that appeals to them. And that sort of increases radicalization because they get no counter views, no countervailing facts that go in. In addition, you have a number of foreign countries that also making false posts on social media using bots and trying to actively radicalize Americans using false facts. And then third, you had Donald Trump, who for 4 years just lied to the American people. The Washington Post has tracked his lies. It's an astounding number. I think it's nearly 30,000 by now.
Oh, jeez.
And now when Donald Trump is gone, some of that goes away. So you don't have repeatedly the President of the United States lying to American people. And I do think you're starting to see some split from Trump already, having, you know, 10 Republicans vote for impeachment of a president of their own party is itself somewhat, you know, remarkable. I wish there were more, but that was a pretty stunning fact that even 10 Republicans were able to do that. And then you see Mitch McConnell saying he welcomes this impeachment. You see Senator Murkowski saying today that she thought the House acted appropriately with the impeachment. So you're starting to see, I think, at least some elected officials break away from Donald Trump. And when he no longer is president, I think a lot of people over time will forget about him, honestly. The American public doesn't really have a 4 year long sort of attention span. And the other thing I think is important to note is Donald Trump's entire sort of theme is he's a winner, right? And when you're out of office, no matter how much he lies, it's pretty clear he's a loser. I mean, his base is going to understand that at a very gut level that he lost. Whether or not they believe it was legitimate or not, he lost. He is not in office anymore. It means he's a loser.
Congressman Liu, final question. It may be a bit hard-hitting one. What's your Maltipoo's name?
Abbott.
Amazing. I hope when we get through with COVID, you're a congressman in California. We actually live somewhat nearby. I hope we can all go to the dog park together with Abbott, my dogs, Taquito and Chiquito, Jordy's 25 dogs by then, Brett's dog. We can all have a great time. Congressman Liu, thank you so much for joining the Midas Touch podcast. Thank you for what you're doing to the country, and thanks for sharing our videos. We appreciate your time.
Thank you. No, that's not America.
That's not America. Welcome back to the Midas Touch podcast. Ben, Brett, Jordy Micellus here
what
with you today.
What a guest, guys, was Congressman Ted Liu. Wow.
How could you get a better guest than the congressperson who introduced the articles of impeachment on the impeachment show? Jordy, I think he liked your question the best.
He did, and he pointed something out that was really spot on. He said it was a very simple question with a long answer, which I think is sort of like me in a way, like just a very simple, straight to the point question, but also a lot of depth underneath. A lot of layers.
Once you get under that, you get under that creamy exterior, Jordy, you got a lot of
cream
depth.
On the outside, cream on the inside. What's that song?
I have no idea. What are you talking about?
Cream on the outside.
No, right. Stop saying that.
Maybe you're not a millennial because we have no idea what song this is.
I will find that song for you. But we have some breaking news. Apparently, Trump is not yet done contesting the election. I mean, he's only going to get more into the depths of absurdity and sedition. I mean, what else would you expect from the seditionist in chief, and who's very cheap, by the way, who's not paying his attorney fees, which is an excursion from what I was about to say. But apparently he is the commander and cheap as well. He is not paying Rudy Giuliani's fees, and I think legal fees, which it should not come as a surprise. And I think there was a joke on Twitter today of Trump removing, like, he's probably stealing things from the White House, a bust of Abraham Lincoln and a few other things. He's just probably just outright thieving it. And people said maybe that's how he's going to pay Rudy Giuliani and his legal team.
But I mean, for the first time, Ben, though, I just want to say I kind of agree with Trump on this one. I mean, let's see what Rudy did. Rudy lost more than 64 cases. He demanded $20,000 a day for his services. He booked the Four Seasons Total Landscaping instead of the Four Seasons Hotel to hold his press conference.
He farted like every day.
Jen Ellis and gave
her COVID. Well, that's my question.
Down his face.
If Rudy doesn't get paid, does that mean Jenna got farted on for free?
That means absolutely Jenna got farted on. She got a COVID fart on her face for free. All right. But now I'm going back into my other thought, which is that Trump is speaking to Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon, as you will recall, already faces federal criminal charges for his involvement with the private nonprofit that raised money to build the wall and didn't build the wall. So they just basically used the build the wall as a total grift to steal from their donors, as they did with Stop the Steal. It's just an ongoing, constant grift. Apparently, Trump is speaking to Bannon. Does that surprise you guys?
Not in the slightest bit. Bannon has always been his go-to when he was in a bind and needed his way out, whether it was 2016 during the election and he thought his chances were slim, or whether it's now when he still, after he incites an insurrection, he's still trying to overturn the results. It's really mind-numbing. And this is also one of the reasons why the Senate needs to convict this guy. And I'm with Congressman Liu on this. They need to do it fast because this guy's not going to stop. And you can't believe that fraudulent speech he gave the other day. That's why we had to get that video out so quickly last night. Convict Trump.
Number one trend in the USA, brought to you by Midas Touch.
And it was because he gave this speech, which was the antithesis of what he actually said the day of the riots when he was inciting the insurrection. And it shows you it's all a con job. He's going to continue to try to do it. He's going to continue to try to grift his supporters, because at the end of the day, the only thing that Trump cares about is Trump. He doesn't give a shit about America, if that's not been clear yet.
And look, he's going back into, one second, I feel like he's going back into sort of a playbook of TV show, so to speak, in that he's bringing back now an old character in the cast to rejuvenize his base again.
A cameo?
It is. No, I'm serious. It is what he's doing, and it's ridiculous.
Thank gosh no country like has invaded us. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, it's like there's actually nobody in a position. Everybody's an acting Secretary of Defense and acting this. There's just no government in place right now. And so it's just astonishing. And Trump's going back to his old...
I think it was a famous Napoleon quote back in the day, right? Never interrupt your enemy while he's making a mistake. I'm sure a lot of countries who would want to do harm to us are looking at us and are being like, this guy's doing it for us.
It's actually the perfect explanation. Why do you need Russian disinformation when the disinformation comes from the president and he's doing the work for you? You get all of the benefits if you're trying to destroy the U.S. without the repercussions. Just let him go. Don't snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. Or don't snatch defeat from the jaws of victory.
See, Ben can make mistakes too, guys.
I can make them. But Trump's going back to his old habits. He's trying to get on other social media networks now. There's like new ones I never even hear of. Gab, a platform popular with neo-Nazis. I mean,
it's insane.
So here's what Trump did after Trump's kicked off Twitter. He's just running to every social media platform possible that will allow him on. And he literally, from the reporting, Jared Kushner had to stop him from going on Gab to inform him that it's actually a hotbed for neo-Nazis.
Yeah, and I think he was. I think that Jared leaks these stories and he's a freaking bullshitter.
Totally.
And so I don't trust that Jared really did anything other than leak the fact that Trump was trying to go to Gab and trying to, you know, aggrandize himself. So I think that's a Jared Kushner leak trying to rehab his image. And fortunately, he needs to significantly, because Jared Kushner will probably be going to jail. But today, there was just this disturbing and bizarre story in Washington Post about how Kushner and Ivanka refused to let the Secret Service guarding them from even using their own bathrooms. So they had to first use a bathroom on Obama's property until apparently a Secret Service officer took a really, this is a true story, according to Washington Post, they didn't say it like this, like took a really bad shit and then destroyed that bathroom. So then they had to, this is what the story was, and then had to move to another bathroom, but eventually they had to rent out space for peeing and pooping for $144,000 at taxpayer expenses, because Ivanka and Jared refused to let them use the bathroom. And you have all of these quotes from Jared and Ivanka's neighbors saying they wanted to be treated like royalty and nobody could touch them, and how unnerving and angry it made their neighbors to see them treating the Secret Service agents like, for a lack of better words, complete shit.
Good luck with that image rehabilitation, Ivanka.
It's just wild. And we're going to bring on Michael Rappaport shortly. But before we bring Michael Rappaport on, I want to talk very briefly about the Republican Party in complete disarray. The Republican Party is now a right-wing fascist party. There's no room for quote-unquote conservatives. I turn that conservative word and throw that bullshit out the window. This is purely a party of weirdo cosplay fascists who want to destroy the United States of America, and people who are so incompetent, disturbing, and disgusting, we could do profiles in corruption, profiles in sedition for each of them. They're refusing to do basic things like even check their guns before entering the Capitol building.
Well, they're not allowed to have guns in the Capitol building. They're refusing to check their bags because they want to sneak guns in. And you have Lauren Boebert, who has in the past really just straight up, let's be real, has threatened Democratic lawmakers that she was going to bring her gun and get them, and she was going to hide behind her mask. We have a clip of this.
I don't think liberals thought this whole mask thing through. They forgot to consider us conservative 2A folks, because you better believe I'm coming with my Springfield XDS.
She said, the liberals didn't think the mask thing through because you better believe that I'm going to hide my face and come through with my gun.
And look, I want to speak to Republicans right now, because don't you just want competent people who have stood up for the United States of America and actually have been doing it their whole lives? U.S. Representative Mikey Sherrill, who was referenced in our previous interview, you know, who saw some of these Republican Congress people giving the tours the day before when they were banned to basically help plan the insurrection. Like, her background, she's a U.S. Navy helicopter pilot, an attorney, a former federal prosecutor before serving in the United States House of Representatives. Ted Lieu, who we just brought on, was the United States Air Force Judge Advocates General in JAG from 1995 to 1999, and he served as the Air Force Force Reserve since then, rising through the ranks. These are true patriots.
But Lauren Boebert of Colorado, her background, she was arrested.
What's her background?
So she was arrested at least 4 times, including for harassing people, for harassment. Her husband was arrested for exposing himself to at least 2 16-year-old girls and for domestic abuse. There are plenty of pictures of her online with white supremacists then making the white power symbol behind her.
Let me tell you this, Brett. I pulled up the police report. I want to give our listeners
spicy
source documents of Boebert's husband and what the children victims say that Boebert's husbands did. They said that the parties, the children, advised me at a bowling alley that Boebert advised them that he had a tattoo on his genitals, at which time Boebert unzipped his pants, removed his genitals, exposing his shaft, and advised them. I'm reading to you what the report says about what her husband did at a bowling event.
Wait, isn't she the QAnon Save Our Children lady, though? I don't understand. I thought this was all about child victimization, QAnon. You're telling me her husband is a sexual predator to minors?
His defense was that he did advise that he unzipped his pants, but that he displayed his thumb, pretending it was his penis for fun to these 2 children. That was his defense. That's who Boebert is. And she doesn't even say words correctly. She's doing a speech where she's talking about inalienable rights, and she refuses to even say words correctly because in their worlds, they have a total attack on the truth. Brett, can you play that clip?
We the people have been endowed by our creator with certain inalienable rights. That word is not pronounced inalienable, as some of you may think. These rights are unalienable. They are unable to be taken away from us or given away by a processor. Inalienable rights.
Inalienable, that's not a word. Just say inalienable, just say the right word. Like, it's just weird. It's weird and bizarre that they go there. Jordy.
It's such a metaphor, man, for just how they look at, like, facts matter. Things, words matter. You can't just make up your own shit and pretend like it's real. People are listening to her as if what she says is gospel, and it's ridiculous. That video of her holding the gun, like, in that weird sort of, like, that's a clear threat. If you do that, and I'm not apples to apples anything, but if you do that and you're a high school student saying you're going to go to your, like, you will be arrested on the spot. It's not that you won't have to walk through a metal detector and then just be okay because you're a very privileged person.
And that's why
they're
rejects, and they want to attack logic and words because they can't fight with logic and the truth. Even the person who started the Stop the Steal, this Ali Alexander, who said he planned what the attack with Representatives Paul Gosar, Andy Biggs, and Mo Brooks. He's a convicted felon stemming from felony property theft and credit card abuse charges in 2007 and 2008. The background and the pattern is clear here of people who have defied the law, who hate law enforcement. And if you stand with the GOP today, you stand with fascism. All that talk about 1776 and upholding the Constitution, they don't want to uphold the Constitution. They want to uphold fascism in the most disturbing Nazi-like sense.
And then they want to protect their criminality. These are, in all these cases, they're lifelong criminals who seem like their only goal in office is to protect themselves from prison time, to make it easier for themselves to commit more crimes. I don't know. I want people who are in the Senate and in the House of Representatives who are there to help people.
And maybe it's, you know, the Republicans, the Rush Limbaughs of the world and the Sean Hannitys because they yell, but enough of that. Enough of that. This is the time.
Yell it at them, Ben. Tell them.
No, this is the time where I'll tell you what it means to be democratic. It means to be pro-democracy. And the choice is binary now. You're either democratic and pro-democracy, or you're Republican and fascism. That's it. You want to join the fascist party? Go with the Republicans. You want to join the party that's pro-democracy? Join the Democratic Party. That's it. Those are the only labels that exist. I don't want to hear conservative, liberal ever again. I don't want to hear that. It's pro-democracy and authoritarian or fascist, and Republicans, you're authoritarian fascist. And you know who I know will have a lot to say about it as we wrap up the show? We're here with comedian, jack of all trades, host of the I Am Rappaport podcast, available on Luminary. Welcome to the show, Michael Rappaport.
Thanks for having me. How you guys doing?
Doing Mike, great. How could we be doing bad? We got a twofer this week. Yesterday was last week was very distressing, but yesterday we got the impeachment preceded by the Trump social media ban. What do you make of this right now?
As far as you know, the Trump social media shutdown. Listen. As somebody who's been suspended on social media accounts, and it's usually for language, you know, I've been suspended on Facebook.
That's not the Michael Rappaport I know.
So behind your backs, I don't like it, right? But I understand it because I play that game. You want to, you know, I consider myself a shit talker. You want to talk shit? Sometimes you might spit on somebody, but I'm never why did they do that? They don't just pick up out of nowhere. You know, some people are like, well, you talk shit. What about censorship? I go, this isn't censorship. And I'm not the president of the United States. and you know, cursing or, you know, one time I got suspended off of Twitter because when Laura Ingraham did her shut up and dribble thing, I said something to the effect of shut up and dribble these nuts. And because
they suspended you for that?
That was essentially what it was. And you know, obviously I'm like, well, why did you, you know, I've said worse and whatever, they suspend you, you come back, it happens. But you know, if you don't act like a fucking, they're not just plucking random.
If you don't incite an act of terrorism, you're associated with neo-Nazis.
So I'm glad they suspended him. I'm glad they banned him. He had it coming. They warned him. He thinks he's above everything, you know, and in some ways he's been able to keep himself above the law and above real trouble. And I'm sure it incenses him that he's gotten kicked off these platforms. And that incensement that I know he has for someone who doesn't understand rules, regulations, and ramifications, it gives me so much pleasure.
Look who got the last laugh.
Jack from fucking Twitter and all the other sites. Good. I'm glad that they kicked him off. I can't stand this piece of shit. I'm glad they impeached this motherfucker. I hope they get him in the trial. I mean, what do you think of the chances of them actually, would the term be prosecuting him?
Yeah, so basically in the House, it's like an indictment with a federal prosecutor who brings it to a grand jury and says, okay, you've now been officially charged. That's what it means to be impeached. Now it goes to the Senate and they basically prosecute him and view the Senate as a jury. And ultimately, if they convict, the ramifications are removal. But you know, you mentioned the dick pics. I feel like Donald Trump has been a walking dick pic embarrassment to the nation. That's just been, we're an unwanted recipient of a dick pic president. You know, it's just fucking,
good point.
It's embarrassing. It's lethal because there's so many people who got killed, but it's just so embarrassing to see these people dressed like barbarians who are separately crying for organic food. I called him on another podcast,
fucking asshole. ISIS. That, you know, dumb what fuck. I hope they gave him like one piece of organic bread. You're not at Whole Foods. You're not at fucking Trader Joe's. You're not at the carrot juice spot. You're in jail, motherfucker. So what did you expect? Like a kale salad? This is what the fuck happens in jail. So I guess, you know, people have rights to certain things. I hope they give him a piece of organic bread. These guys that they arrested and the Auschwitz t-shirt guy and the Confederate flag guy and the cops, you know, you spend your whole life as a hardworking guy, as a cop, right? Or as a fireman, as a military person, and you get gassed up by dick-stained Donald Trump. and you put it all on the line, and you throw away your entire life for a guy that literally wouldn't piss on you if you were on fire. Exactly. And these fucking assholes, oh, you have Trump derangement syndrome. No, anyone that was at the Capitol building, anyone that gets arrested, anyone that showed up there, you have Trump derangement syndrome. You're deranged in the name of a guy that wouldn't look at you and think about you for a second. That's derangement. To be a cop, okay, to go into the Capitol building and take a picture of yourself, you're deranged. To be a mother, to be a father, to risk it all, you're fucking deranged in the name of a guy who could give a fuck about you. Absolutely. So I all that stuff that's coming to them, good, good. Those fucking anti-Semitic dumb fucks who wouldn't know a Jewish person from a fucking hole in the world, good. Good, you fucking dummies. Good. I'm glad, and I'm glad they're prosecuting and they're going to get them, because I'm sure the FBI and the CIA, I'm sure they feel like slighted, and I'm sure they feel embarrassed that it got that far, and they're going to make it their business to get as many of them as they can. That Olympic gold medal guy, good, you stupid fuck. You're a dumbass. Whether it was planned, premeditated, whether you did it spontaneously, all these stupid excuses, the lectern guy who carried the lectern, good, you fucking dummies.
Did you see the attorney? Did you see the attorney of lectern guy? That was one of the greatest clips of all time.
He's like, what do you want me to tell you? He seemed to be in the Capitol building. Yeah. I saw him holding a lectern. Yeah. And it seems
he may have been in the Capitol building.
Looks bad.
I'm not a magician. What do I want to do here? I mean, which also tells me that behind the scenes, there probably is some cooperation going on, you know, with these QAnon and these terrorists who went in there and were photographed. Ultimately, I think that they're looking at Don Jr. I think they're looking at Donald Trump. And I think it's obvious that they're co-conspirators in it. And I think the FBI and the district attorney in D.C. are building a case right now against them.
Great. This, for me personally, this has nothing to do about partisanship, Republican. I know Republicans. I'm sure you guys know Republicans. This is not about Republicans, Democrats. You're either stupid or you're not stupid. If I were the Republicans, you guys, the last thing you should want is Donald Trump. They should have all voted for him to be like, you should go, you know what? We tried this. It didn't work. This is above and beyond anything we ever thought of, anything we ever imagined. And they should rid themselves of this fucking guy and get as far away from him as possible. Because, like you said, it's a fucking embarrassment. And, like, this one guy, he's a famous Republican, Dan Crenshaw, with the eye patch, and he was a Navy SEAL. And, you know, he served the country, and I've seen him on interviews, he seems sensible. I'm not quoting, but he basically said, I know what Trump did, you know, was bad, and that it was a part of this, but. There's no but. This is not, if he had anything to do with it, there's no but.
Hey, we don't go, Osama bin Laden is bad, but you incited a terrorist insurrection against the Capitol building that was broadcast around the world. And forget when Trump said the shithole countries and third world countries. America right now, America looks right now like the worst place you could live in on planet Earth on this specific day in history. Between our COVID raging like no other country, between insurrectionists invading our Capitol building, a president who was tweeting the dumbest shit in the world, a nepotistic family, it's shit embarrassing. And these are the people, Mike, who were like, we want law and order, Blue Lives Matter.
Right.
Trump had to be dragged to fly the flag half staff. We don't hear the names of the officer who was crushed. We don't hear the hero officers who were there. The Republicans don't give a shit. It's when officers uphold white supremacy, they're okay with those officers. But when officers are enforcing law and order in other circumstances, they just don't give a shit.
This is not a person. This is not a decent person. You know, this isn't about a Republican. This is just a bad, fucked up, just not good person, and I just don't understand how you can be so devout to anybody, let alone a guy who,
especially this guy, you're like, this guy, this out of all the people, guy, this dude,
you're letting a liar tell you lies. Like, that's what you're getting behind. Like
they want to hear the lies. These people like being lied to. And I think it's the culmination of just now years and years and years of disinformation and anti-intellectualism flooding into people's minds. And that's why earlier in the show, we were referencing some of the credentials of people like Representative Ted Lieu and comparing them side by side with people like Lauren Boebert, who is the new QAnon psychopath in Congress.
And the Marjorie woman from Taylor Georgia?
Green. The woman from Georgia's Marjorie Taylor Greene. And then you have Boebert, who's the other crazy one, who's from Colorado.
And what's she talking
helped,
about?
She helped coordinate. She apparently gave congressional tours of people the day before to kind of give them the infrastructure of what the Capitol building looked like. They were banning Capitol tours. She wrote 1776. This is 1776, the morning of. She was tweeting out Nancy Pelosi's location while the insurrection was taking
place.
Like a
real sick person.
Why hasn't the FBI gotten this fucking bitch?
I have no doubt that they are actively investigating that. And as Congressman Lieu said, if indeed they were involved in any part of the insurrection, they need to have the full ramifications of the law. I just think they've been living in this delusional world, Mike, for the last 4 years, where on this platform of white supremacy that Trump gave, he made it sound like everybody should have immunity who's not black or brown, and that his followers believe that to be the case, that they're immune, that they could take selfies with Capitol officers. Well, that's not going to happen. And Mike, what do you see as what would your dream scenario be? You know, Biden gets sworn in. What happens to Trump, Ivanka, Jared Kushner, and that whole family?
My dream would be that he goes to fucking federal prison. That would be my fucking dream, that him and that dumb fucking Don Jr., those two, and Rudy Giuliani, the three of them, that they go to jail in federal fucking prison. That would be my dream. You know, this lock him up, lock her up. It gets thrown around so easily. But this motherfucker with the lying and the inciting, those three, they belong in fucking jail.
My thought, though, of what's going to happen, I genuinely think, and I'm not using hyperbole, I think that they are going to move to criminally prosecute Donald Trump. I think at the last minute, he's going to try to pull shenanigans about pardons and seeing if he could try to pardon himself. We're going to hear a lot of news about that. He's deeply concerned that if he pardons himself, though, it will be viewed as civil liability against him. It's an admission in a way.
Of course. What kind of a piece of shit pardons himself?
And so I think ultimately you have a prosecution of Don Jr., of Don Trump. He can't pardon himself from state crimes. We know that the attorneys in New York are preparing criminal paperwork that's been reported for tax fraud. I think that's where we head. I think that more information will begin to come out when people feel less afraid that he still has the presidential pulpit to attack them using that power. I mean, it's the biggest power in the world, the power of the United States presidency. And so I think ultimately it's going to be a very, very dark days for the Trump family.
I can't wait till everything comes out as well, because if I think the last couple of weeks have shown us everything, it's that everything we know about the man is true. We heard the tape of him bullying the Georgia Secretary of State Raffensperger.
Yeah, not so, just bullying, criminally telling him to find the votes.
Extorting him. And so could you imagine what that actual Ukraine call was like over the phone? Could you imagine what his calls with other world leaders was like?
Yeah, what he's telling Putin.
Probably real. I mean, you got
to. For sure. That P tape is probably real. I know you guys can't validate for sure, but this idea of him, and I believe it's totally true, but do we know for sure? Is it because things just come out of nowhere and they just take a life of their own? If this cocksucker's not paying Rudy Giuliani, is that. I know you can't say I know that for sure, but where did that come from? Because it's so like him. He said at one of his Trump rallies, like, oh, I pay, I don't pay. I mean, this is his MO.
That's been his MO since he was in New York and doing real estate. He never paid his contractors.
How awesome would that be if he didn't pay this fuck, and somehow that's their breach?
We were talking about it before. And after all this, after being the one guy who probably, by the way, knows all the secrets, knows
everything,
where the bodies are buried, he may not pay this man.
I mean, look, he Those stories are leaked to people with agendas, Mike. And so
I know
there's a kind of circle of who it could be. And a likely source of the leak could be an opening shot to Rudy, to Trump, saying, I'm going to start leaking shit if you don't pay me. And so whether it came, that's one angle where it could come from. It could be someone just pitching the press to give him a salacious story, like a Jared or someone just trying to give him information so they could write good stories about him. But I think there is valid truth to that story. It's Trump's MO. Ugh. Because the way these invoices are submitted for legal fees is that you don't submit them contemporaneously. It's not like he has access to Trump's bank account. So you have to submit the invoice at the end of the day after services. And by the way, it's hard as a lawyer sometimes if you don't achieve the result that the client wants to get paid. That's a problem that lawyers have all the time. You know,
that's a very good point. And he didn't achieve the service that he wanted, which was to ensure that he's the president. What a fucking loser. What a dumb.
What a fucking.
He is a loser. And you know what? Leave it to a dick pic president to stiff his legal staff.
What about this motherfucker? He's another one I can't stand. Fucking Steve Bannon. What's his fucking deal?
He's under federal indictment too. We talked about it earlier in the show. He's under federal indictment for stealing money from the border wall bullshit, right? that they tried to
build
pull
the wall.
And you know, he comes back into Trump's world. I mean, one, he's looking for a pardon. Let's be clear about what his agenda is. And so he's looking for a pardon and he's going back and telling Trump all the things that Trump wants to hear. He knows, and Bannon's a very smart guy and a very evil guy, but yeah, he knows psychologically what you need to say to a very weak despot like Trump to get him to, you know, to go crazy. But Bannon's angling for a pardon is what that's about.
Right. And do you think he'll be pardoned in the next, what is it, 7 days?
Yeah.
5 days? Yeah, 6 yeah. days?
If Trump pardons people, the answer is yes. There's been reporting that because Trump thinks that he can't get himself a pardon, that he doesn't want to share that with anybody else. If Trump does make good on these quid pro quo pardons, then yeah, I think Bannon gets pardoned. I think all those people get pardoned. And I think he pardons people as well for crimes they haven't yet committed, which is what.
That shit's awesome. Yo, that is fuck phantom, like he phantom pardons for things you may have done, you've thought about doing. Things that nobody knows, things that he knows that you've done, crazy.
I saw right before we got on, the guy with the headdress we were talking about earlier has asked for a pardon. I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up pardoning.
Yo, if he gives one of the fucking rioters a pardon, that would be the biggest fuck you to the Capitol Police and to the country ever.
Look, remember Kimberly Guilfoyle? Remember Kimberly Guilfoyle? She said, the best
I know who that fucking zero is, yeah.
Well, the worst is yet to come for the Trump family. Michael Rappaport, thank you so much for joining the Midas Touch podcast. You can check Michael Rappaport on his podcast. I am Rappaport, available on Luminary.
Yep.
Michael's a big fan of Midas Touch, a big fan of the show. We love Michael. Support him. And look forward to you coming on the next one, Michael.
Anytime. I appreciate you guys. I'm so happy you guys are doing your thing. Keep kicking ass, and I'll see you on the text or on I'll see you on all the social media platforms
that we're allowed on.
Yeah, we'll see you on our group text chain. Back in action. That's not America. That was a great interview with Michael Rappaport.
I love that guy. What a friend of the show. Though he was Rappaport was 2 hours late to the interview.
But 2 hours late. Well, we all had to have our dinner, but it's all good. We love Michael, friend of the show, friend of the Midas Mighty. All good. But before we close the show, I think we want to just give some of you an insight into some of the less flattering mail that we get. And don't get me wrong, a lot of it's overwhelmingly positive.
Like 99%, like most of it.
A lot of it's overwhelmingly positive. There are a lot of death threats, but then there's this other category of kind of very confusing criticisms of us. And the most recent very confusing criticism us is for the holidays. We thought it would be very nice to send a holiday card to all of our donors, just wishing them a happy holidays, thanking them for their support, and just wishing them well. I did not think that there would be any controversial aspect to sending a nice holiday card. And don't get me wrong, 99% of people were thrilled.
But I mean, hey, it's super cool. We see you guys posting them on your mantles, you know, sending us photos of them on Twitter. It's been the coolest and most flattering thing ever to see you guys display your holiday cards from Midas Touch proudly. But then we have some people like this. And let's also, just before we go in, note that it's currently January 14th. We sent the holiday cards in mid-December. So if you want to know how badly DeJoy fucked up the mail system, people are just getting their Christmas cards that we sent out in mid-December today in mid-January. So let's just also just take this as a microcosm of what could have happened during the elections with mail-in ballots. And let's think about who really was trying to rig the election here. But, you know, let's move away from the politics, though, and let's get straight into our fan mail. So, guys, the first, I'm just going to read a couple because I think you guys will get the point.
Yeah, but just read two.
Here's the first one. This one was received today. And I'm going to read it the way I read it when I received it. So it says, I gotta say, I was not happy to get your mailed Christmas card. I am not contributing to your project for you to build your brand through ingratiating yourself to donors. I've been in direct marketing and online fundraising for many years, so I know it's appealing to try and build capacity, but this was a totally tone-deaf gesture and one I hope I never see again. In the middle of your media campaigns, desperately justifiable, this was a waste. Like,
it literally says happy holidays. thank you for your support. And rather than just giving somebody like a receipt for their donation, a nice holiday card seemed to strike the right tone. And, you know, that one caught me by surprise.
Guys, think about the process too. You get the mail, you open up the envelope, you see a lovely message from Midas Touch wishing you happy holidays. You get enraged. You run to the computer, you go on our website, you find our contact form, you write two paragraphs and you hit send. That's a lot of steps, a lot of decision-making that goes into actually the response to this. Jordy, any thoughts?
We're just trying to do something nice. I think 99% of people just, you know, thought it was nice and we truly appreciate it. And that's why we want to send it.
I just worry, like, what happens? Do you go up to somebody and say, hey, just want to wish you a happy holidays? Don't you dare wish me a happy holiday. Don't you dare wish me.
Invade my space.
You're invading my space. I want no happy before the word holidays. You have offended me. So, well, we apologize if that offended you. The gesture was trying to be warm. We know it's a difficult year. We were just trying to say thank you.
That brings us right into our next one, though, which I could read, which is right along those lines, Ben. And I will read this also, and I'll tell you there's a lot of caps lock involved in this one, so you know it's good. This one says, hello. This year, I made a donation to you. It apparently went through, all caps, at Blue. It was made using my PayPal account. Today, I received a holiday greeting from the three brothers. It was sent to express gratitude from the three brothers. So at this point, I'm like, oh, they appreciated the card. Like, they received it. They got a holiday gift. Oh,
everything sounds positive.
Everything sounds good. But the caps, all caps, at Blue should have cued me into what was coming. However, I have all caps never provided my mailing address to Midas Touch. So I'm wondering, all caps, how did you get an address for me? Well, you know, it's actually federal law when you donate to a political action committee like ours that you do give your address. Your address is with PayPal. And so we had it on file. And so we sent you a holiday card as our thanks. We've never sent any other pieces of mail except this holiday card. But it goes on. I consider this a violation of my privacy. I used my PayPal account to make a donation. I've made donations using PayPal before, and never have I had the problem of the recipient writing to me and my street address. I consider this, all caps, an inappropriate violation of my privacy, and I will never donate to Midas Touch again. I am very disturbed about this, and I need an explanation. Thank you. And their name. At least they thanked us at the end.
Well, I guess on that positive note, happy holidays. But most importantly, happy impeachment.
Happy and impeachment, hopefully, everybody.
Happy conviction. And now the chickens come home to roast. And the roasted chicken is Diaper Don.
Oh, boy.
So thank you very much for listening to this edition of the Midas Touch podcast. For more episodes, follow us on Midas Touch. You could download these podcasts wherever podcasts are available. I assume you know that because you are listening. Follow us at Midas. What kind of readout is this, Brett? Follow us at Midas Touch. There are new episodes every Tuesday and Friday. Wherever you get your podcast, I think we need to reiterate that fact one more time. I think this was a punk line for me to finish this podcast. Make sure you leave a 5-star review. That helps us continue to climb the charts. We're already a top 35 podcast in the United States for news. Thank you, Jordy. What do you want to say to the Midas Mighty?
Shout out to the Midas Mighty!